know what an e-cigarette is? The FDA calls it a battery-operated product designed to deliver nicotine into a user. It turns the nicotine into a vapor that's inhaled. Some smokers use them to try to quit smoking the real thing. Some smokers use them in addition to the real thing. And recent statistics show they are growing in popularity among adults and teens. According to statistics just released by the CDC, the number of middle and high school students using e-cigarettes has doubled from 2011 to 2012. Is this a troubling trend or not? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 11th. We'll talk with an expert about the e-cigarette this hour, and we'll welcome your questions, your concerns, maybe your personal experiences. Have you used e-cigarettes? Are you concerned if others use them around you? Should kids be using them at all? Are they safe? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is David Abrams, Executive Director of the Schrader Institute for Tobacco Research and Policy Studies at the American Legacy Foundation. He is also a professor in the Department of Health, Behavior, and Society at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, and an adjunct professor at Georgetown University Medical Center, the Lombardi Comprehensive Cancer Center. His areas of expertise include tobacco use and e-cigarettes. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be with you.
Thanks very much for joining us. So tell us a little bit more about how this e-cigarette works.
It's basically, of course, it's not a cigarette. It aerosolizes the nicotine by warming a solution that contains nicotine, creating a mist. And when the smoker puffs on the cigarette, the mist is inhaled and then exhaled, and it creates a cloud that looks like smoke, but is really not the same kind of smoke that one would get in a regular cigarette.
Yeah, so it contains nicotine, but not tobacco and the other stuff that's in a real cigarette.
That's correct. The nicotine is derived from tobacco, but because it's not burnt, it doesn't create as many of the harmful chemicals that one sees in when you light a real cigarette. So although it's not benign, it has much less chemicals in it than you'd see in a real cigarette. So when you breathe it in, and unfortunately there are so many varieties of e-cigarettes with so many different manufacturers, it looks like some of them are relatively low in contaminants and others have more contaminants. So it's a little hard to tell which ones are safer than others. But probably the popular brands have much lower concentrations of harmful chemicals in them than you'd ever see in a combusted cigarette when you light the tobacco.
And do we know if the ones that are lower in the harmful chemicals are safe to use?
Well, we don't really know. The research is only in its infancy. What we do know is when we measure the chemicals, we see very low levels of things like nitrosamines, which are found in extremely high levels in a regular cigarette, and those are one of the largest cancer-causing agents. We don't know what the propylene glycol, which is the chemical that's used in e-cigarettes, does on a very long-term basis, but on a short term, it can cause a little bit of lung irritation. But again, none of this is at anywhere near the level that one finds when one smokes a regular cigarette.
Do we know how many people use e-cigarettes?
A lot of people are trying them. Not as many people are sticking to using them. But it looks like somewhere between 2 and 11% of current smokers have either tried them, and some 1 or 2% are still using them.
Mm-hmm. And do they use them primarily as a tool to quit, or do they use them because it's inconvenient to smoke in some places a real cigarette, and they use this as an alternative?
I think the vast majority are using them when they can't smoke. So it's a way of bridging their addiction, if you will, by giving them another form of nicotine during times when they may not be allowed to smoke because of clean indoor air policies or restrictions. Some people are using them to quit, and there is increasing evidence that it helps some people quit. And a recent study just published shows that for some smokers, it helps them quit about as well as nicotine replacement therapies, which are the standard treatment that the FDA has approved for smoking cessation.
Mm-hmm. Is nicotine itself harmful?
Nicotine is harmful. It is an addictive substance, and it's also a very serious poison. It doesn't take a lot of nicotine to kill an adult. So we are concerned that when you buy the liquid juice that is supplied by third-party vendors for electronic cigarettes, it would be very serious if a child or an adult accidentally ingested it. That's why we would recommend that, you know, sales be restricted only to adults, as is the case with regular cigarettes, and that the juice be dispensed in child-proof containers, and that there be quality control standards over the production and purity of the product. And at the moment, it's the Wild West out there. There are absolutely no regulations at all, although the federal government, the Food and Drug Administration, does intend to regulate them. It's a slow process of getting approval to do that.
Who has to approve whether the FDA regulates them?
Well, the FDA did try to regulate them as a nicotine delivery device, and the courts blocked that and ruled that this was, in fact, a tobacco-derived product, and as long as it wasn't claimed to be used for smoking cessation, it could be marketed as a tobacco product, which means that the Food and Drug Administration has to apply for what's called deeming regulations, and that is to get essentially permission to include e-cigarettes under the new Tobacco Control Act that President Obama signed in 2009. That act gave the FDA jurisdiction over regular cigarettes and smokeless tobacco, but did not include these new products. So they have to apply for and be approved to regulate all tobacco products, not just cigarettes and smokeless tobacco.
Well, one of the reasons we called you was this this recent news story that said that the use of e-cigarettes by middle and high school students has doubled from 2011 to 2012. Do we think that means they're using these instead of regular cigarettes, or should we be concerned beyond the concerns over the nicotine that kids are using these?
I would be very concerned. I think we should be concerned whenever kids under the age of 18 are trying these drug delivery products. So I would be very concerned, both because some of these e-cigarettes are being marketed with extremely attractive flavorings, from pina colada to mango to strawberry to chocolate.
Seriously?
To so on. And those companies, I think, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration banned the use of all flavored cigarettes except menthol. So this is a way of getting around those bans. So we are seeing kids attracted both to the e-cigarette as well as little cigars and cigarillos that are still allowed to be marketed in flavors and in small packs of five or loosely singles. So they are much cheaper and therefore more easy to purchase by kids. So we're concerned completely when any kid is starting to use nicotine products of any type. However, of course, we want to say that the real public enemy number one is the cigarette. The cigarette is what everybody graduates to because it's got the burnt nicotine that is highly addictive and highly satisfying. And that's the danger, because that's where you get the combination of burning the tobacco, which gives you all the cancer-causing and heart disease-causing agents, as well as the highest addiction potential. So the burnt cigarette is still public enemy number one, but we're concerned that any other nicotine product might be a slippery slope towards eventually finding cigarettes, which are so satisfying and addictive that they kill half the people that use them. And as you know, once kids are addicted, it's extremely difficult to quit smoking as an adult.
We are talking with David Abrams. He is the executive director of the Institute for Tobacco Research and Policy Studies at the American Legacy Foundation, about the e-cigarette. Producers claim e-cigarettes are a healthy alternative to smoking, but our guest says that their health effects are largely unknown. Plus, we are talking about why he says e-cigarettes are a gateway to smoking. And we'll talk more about what needs to be done to discourage smoking altogether among teens as we continue. And we welcome your questions and views. How concerned are you about the popularity, the growing popularity of e-cigarettes? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the growing popularity of e-cigarettes and the news that the use of e-cigarettes by middle and high school students has doubled from 2011 to 2012, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We are talking about why our guest says we should be concerned about this. David Abrams is with the Institute for Tobacco Research and Policy Studies at the American Legacy Foundation. He's also a professor in the Department of Health, Behavior, and Society at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. We are welcoming your questions for him. We're welcoming your views on e-cigarettes. Have you tried them? Why do you use them? How concerned are you about possible negative health effects, or don't you worry about that? And what about the regulation of e-cigarettes? Does more need to be done? Does there need to be stricter regulation of e-cigarettes? Should there be a ban on selling e-cigarettes to teens? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So, David Abrams, talk a little bit more about why you say that we should not sell these cigarettes, these e-cigarettes, to teens. Right now, it's a completely open market, and anybody can get these.
And that's true, although I do believe many convenience stores and some states have already recommended banning the sales and treating them like regular cigarettes with respect to teens. And by the way, the states do not have to wait for federal regulation. Each state has the authority to act to protect its own citizens. So it's probably worth considering, local and state legislation that might restrict the sale of e-cigarettes to minors. Although e-cigarettes are not nearly as dangerous as lit cigarettes, we have concerns, and we don't have a lot of science yet, that the same kids who would smoke regular cigarettes would try e-cigarettes, and because of their flavorings and attractiveness and the fact that they are easily purchased at lower prices than a pack of cigarettes, may be attractive to kids. And therefore, if they use them together with regular cigarettes, that's where the real health damage occurs. E-cigarettes are safer than regular cigarettes, but the problem is you should only use e-cigarettes and never use combusted cigarettes. They are the real enemy, and those are the ones that kill half the users.
Well, Peter on Facebook says, e-cigarettes are the natural thing for the anti-smoking lobby to transition to campaigning against, in order, he says, to maintain their relevance. The lack of scientifically valid objections to their use is unlikely to be an obstacle. What's your reaction to that?
Well, you know, I think there is always the danger of, you know, ultra-conservatives and pessimists to say that, you know, there are no harm-reduced products that would ever be acceptable as an alternative, and that all nicotine products should not be available. However, we take a cautiously optimistic view. We do think there's a role for reduced harm and cleaner forms of nicotine delivery. You know, of course, we fully endorse nicotine replacement therapies that are FDA approved as a way of helping people quit smoking. And now that we have the technology to deliver nicotine in cleaner, safer forms, if it turns out that that results in getting combusted cigarettes, the burnt cigarette variety, off the market, we would save hundreds of thousands of lives, even though people could still get their nicotine in safer, cleaner ways. So I think we are at a watershed here, and we could see a transition in the next decade away from dirty, burnt cigarettes and towards cleaner nicotine. So we're cautiously optimistic, and we're not willing to take a black and white approach to this, as some people have already done. We want to wait and see what the science says. And it's very clear that not only this generation of e-cigarettes, but there could be new ones in the technology pipeline that would be even better, creating a very interesting market to call for a complete elimination of regular cigarettes, which are clearly the ones that are public enemy number one.
Mark on Facebook says, e-cigarettes helped me quit analog cigarettes. No side effects like the prescriptions. No need for extra regulation. Besides keeping these away from kids, what needs to be done to regulate the e-cigarette?
Well, given that they do deliver nicotine, which is a drug, we do feel they should be regulated in some way. If only for the quality control, to be sure that the advertising levels of nicotine is accurate, to ensure that the product does not have extra contaminants, and that it's manufactured according to good pharmaceutical standards. So we do believe there should be some regulation of e-cigarettes to protect the public health. It doesn't have to be heavy-handed regulation, but we should require quality control and tracking of the batches that are made in case, for example, if there are contaminants, that a batch could be recalled. I mean, this is what we do with food safety, and I think it makes perfect sense that we'd want some regulation of the liquid nicotine that's being manufactured and produced for e-cigarettes in a responsible manner.
In Duluth, Minnesota, people are puffing on electronic cigarettes. People who are puffing on electronic cigarettes will face the same restrictions as those smoking traditional cigarettes, according to this story in the Minneapolis Star Tribune. The City Council in Duluth just this week on Monday approved laws prohibiting e-cigarettes in public places. And then it says, further flaming an already heated debate about how to regulate this quickly growing industry. Is there any evidence that the vapors that others might inhale if you're next to somebody smoking an e-cigarette, that's dangerous?
Again, it depends on the quality of the manufacturer of the e-cigarettes. There are only very few research studies on the secondhand vapor, and several of them do show that there is nicotine in the vapor. There are small particulate matter in the vapor. And again, in those that have poor quality, we are seeing contaminants like metals and other contaminants that would be of concern. Again, although the vapor contaminants are way, way lower than what you'd find in regular cigarettes, at least one study suggests that the contaminants from the poor quality juice are above EPA standards for clean indoor air. So whenever you're releasing something into the indoor air with small particles and with some contaminants, you ought to be concerned, even if it's at very low level.
We are talking about the growing popularity of e-cigarettes, and we're wondering if this is a troubling trend or not, and welcoming your questions about e-cigarettes and the regulation of e-cigarettes, the safety of e-cigarettes, for our guest expert. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about the growing use of e-cigarettes, particularly by middle and high school students. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the number of teens using e-cigarettes has doubled from 2011 to 2012. We're talking about this trend and whether or not e-cigarettes are safe, what needs to be done to regulate them, and welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:37 on this Wednesday, September 11th. We are talking with David Abrams. He is the Executive Director of the Institute for Tobacco Research and Policy Studies at the American Legacy Foundation. He's a professor in the Department of Health, Behavior, and Society at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and an adjunct professor at Georgetown University's Medical Center, the Lombardi Comprehensive Cancer Center. His areas of expertise include tobacco use and e-cigarettes. And we have some callers, so let's go to John in Madison. Hello, John.
Hi. I personally see these as a real menace. The person is going to become addicted to nicotine, whether they're 15 using this and trying to get off of regular cigarettes, they're still a nicotine addict, especially kids are going to become addicted. And it's a pernicious addiction. Only a fifth of the population, still a fifth of the population, is as addicted to nicotine as it ever was. And this has resisted all the health effects that have been. They can't give the stuff up. And to see another crop of kids addicted is just horrible. But the reason I called is this. We know that tobacco is linked to stroke, heart attack, all sorts of cancers, especially lung cancer, and also horrible effects on pregnant women that smoke. What do we know about the unitary effects of simply nicotine addiction as far as a pregnant woman using it or heart attacks and strokes? It is a vasoconstrictor. And also, how many of these people that use e-cigarettes also cross over and occasionally smoke or with some frequency smoke tobacco products?
David Abrams?
Yeah, those are very good points, and we share those concerns. From what we know, we would not recommend using any nicotine during pregnancy at all. And whether that's an e-cigarette or any other form of nicotine, just like alcohol, it's not good for the growing fetus to have any of that in the woman's body. Secondly, I think we are worried because the majority of people using e-cigarettes are continuing to smoke regular cigarettes. So they're either increasing their risk or not decreasing their risk of all the death and disease that comes from regular cigarettes as long as they are dual using, which is using both e-cigarettes and regular cigarettes. There clearly could be health benefits if people switched completely to e-cigarettes and then use the e-cigarette to wean themselves off all of nicotine and tobacco, just like one would do with a nicotine replacement therapy. So if you're using e-cigarettes to reduce and eliminate your combusted regular cigarette use, that would be great. And then if you continue to use only e-cigarettes, that would be much less harmful than dual using e-cigarettes, even if you're smoking less regular cigarettes. There is really no safe level of regular cigarette use. And we would hope that e-cigarettes could be used as a vehicle to either transition completely off of combusted regular cigarettes and or to help you quit all nicotine products. If they are used in that manner, there could be huge public health benefit. But if they're used to continue smoking regular cigarettes, or if they're a gateway to attract kids to continue to smoke regular cigarettes, then that could be a public health disaster.
David Abrams, if a teen or an adult, for that matter, is just using the nicotine from the e-cigarette or any nicotine replacement therapy for that matter, and is not, you know, drinking a bottle of the nicotine juice, is there a real health hazard of using nicotine, being addicted to nicotine?
Nicotine clearly is a dangerous substance if used in excess. However, if nicotine is not delivered in a burnt cigarette but is done in a clean form, like nicotine replacement therapy, we have evidence that relatively long-term use of that kind of nicotine produces very minimal health concerns. There are some health concerns in terms of cardiovascular effects on the heart, but it is so much safer than going back to smoking regular cigarettes that we would certainly be more comfortable, if people cannot quit nicotine at all, than staying on a non-burnt form of nicotine like nicotine replacement therapy, even for many years, would be better than going back to smoking cigarettes.
I wondered, too, we touched on it in our first half hour, but what evidence is there that the e-cigarette could be a gateway to smoking the real thing, as you are concerned it does?
I do not think we have any epidemiologic surveys yet that tell us that kids who are trying e-cigarettes are then graduating to regular cigarettes. We simply don't know. But my guess is that kids who are going to smoke regular cigarettes anyway are also going to smoke e-cigarettes. And if that's the case, I would strongly want them to just smoke e-cigarettes or nothing at all, but never smoke a combusted burnt cigarette or use hookah or little cigars or cigarillos. Those are the ones that kill you. The real killer is when you burn the tobacco. When you burn the tobacco, that's when you get the 4,000 chemicals that kill half the people who use them. So it's not worth getting your nicotine from dirty, burnt tobacco. It's the equivalent of using dirty needles for heroin. And really, we should take regular cigarettes off the market. If regular cigarettes were off the market, as in Sweden, where a lot of people use snus and other smokeless tobacco, although, again, it's not harmless, there's much less death and disease when you don't burn the tobacco product, but you use it in another form.
Let's go to Mary in Viroqua. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good. It sounds like your radio's on. Could you turn it off?
Sure.
And go ahead and with your question as you're walking over there.
My question is it seems to me that back few years ago that I read or heard that the particulates from cigarette smoke can cling to draperies and drapery and upholstery and your clothing, and that when that's dislodged by air movement, that it's back in the air again, and you can still breathe it in even though maybe
Yeah, because I'm sorry, Mary, because I hear the feedback from the delay. I'm having a hard time understanding your question, but I think she's talking about whether or not the e-cigarette particulates can cling to clothing and draperies and dislodge and whether there's any harm there.
That's a very good question. Again, we don't have a lot of research on that yet because the product is so new to the market. What we do know, though, is that it's really the nicotine that's a very sticky molecule, and it sticks to carpets and walls and draperies for 20, 30 years. I think some of the studies that you're talking about is that even babies crawling on the floor of a house where the previous owner smoked will have some nicotine in their blood. So it's sort of like lead paint. It hangs around for a very long time. So if there is nicotine coming out of the mist in an e-cigarette, it will also deposit and over time stick to furniture, rugs, and draperies. But I would say, again, these are very, very low levels. And the real enemy is smoking a cigarette or a cigarillo, a cigar, or hookah. The real enemy is when you burn the nicotine and suck it in, then both the mainstream smoke that you suck into your lungs as well as the side stream smoke that comes out of the tip of a burnt cigarette are extremely dangerous, and those are the real concern.
So why would someone continue to burn tobacco and suck that into their lungs if they have the alternative of an e-cigarette?
Well, I think we're hoping that people will switch completely, and as I said, that could be a huge public health success. However, I think when you burn the cigarette, the nicotine is free-base nicotine. It's like crack cocaine. So that kind of nicotine that comes from burning the tobacco is much more addictive. And that's what gets to your brain in 7 seconds and gives you such enormous pleasure that your brain wants it more and more, which is the classic definition of addiction. In the e-cigarette, while your brain is getting nicotine, it seems to be a slower absorption, and therefore the nicotine is not quite as addictive. And therefore, you know, it's like accepting that your taste and your satisfaction aren't quite as good, but you're not killing yourself. So I would highly recommend that if somebody can't quit smoking cigarettes, they try and switch completely to e-cigarettes. And then maybe 3 or 6 months after that, because they've weaned their brain off the free-base nicotine that you get when you burn the cigarette, they may be able to quit. And we call that reduce to quit. The same thing happens when you use nicotine replacement therapy. We have found that some people, when they use nicotine replacement or Chantix, eventually can wean themselves off the addiction of the tobacco. It becomes less and less satisfying, and then they can quit everything because they've kind of gradually gotten off the very powerful addiction that comes from burning the tobacco that gives you the free-base nicotine that your brain craves.
Do you know, David Abrams, if the cost of the e-cigarette and the nicotine, if that's comparable to traditional cigarettes?
The way they are advertised and the amount of nicotine, they're actually less expensive than cigarettes. So, for example, a single disposable e-cigarette, which costs somewhere in the range of $5 to $7 in a convenience store, generally has enough nicotine in it for 1 to 2 packs of regular cigarettes. So if you're talking about a pack of cigarettes that sells for $5, and an e-cigarette that sells for $6 but gives you the amount of nicotine that you get in a whole pack of cigarettes, then they're comparable, and some people would claim they're less expensive than regular cigarettes.
We're talking with David Abrams. He is with the Tobacco Research and Policy Studies Institute at the American Legacy Foundation, is also a professor in the Department of Health, Behavior, and Society at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, talking with him about the e-cigarette. And we're welcoming your questions and maybe your concerns, especially with the news that the use of e-cigarettes among teens, among middle and high school students, is growing. It's doubled from 2011 to 2012, according to the CDC. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now we are talking about e-cigarettes, and we are welcoming your questions about them and your concerns at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Let's take a listen to an ad for e-cigarettes and then talk about the regulation of them.
Negative one, I'm tired of being a walking ashtray. Negative two, I'm tired of feeling guilty every time I want to light up. I'm Steven Dorff. I've been a smoker for 20 years, and I just found the smarter alternative. Blue e-cigs.
So you said, David Abrams, that it's sort of the Wild West out there when it comes to e-cigarettes these days?
Yes. There is no regulation at the moment, although, as I said, some states and some local counties are moving to regulate them and not waiting for the federal government to do the regulation.
And is the regulation just what we talked about, saying you can't smoke them in public places like Duluth, or more than that?
No, that's usually it. And of course, restricting sale to minors and requiring ID as you would with a regular cigarette.
And you would like to see the FDA especially marketing these things. That was not an example of marketing to teens, but they're marketing them in flavors and in ways that would be appealing to kids.
Yeah, I do not think that flavored e-cigarettes should be on the market because they're especially attractive to kids. And of course, I do think that the sale should be restricted. Minors should not be able to purchase them. And as I said, I do think if adults are going to use them, they should switch completely to e-cigs and not use regular cigarettes and e-cigarettes. A lot of the advertising is misleading because it implies that you will have a reduced harm product if you use them together. So it implies you don't have to quit smoking. You can use e-cigarettes when you're not allowed to smoke. But it doesn't tell you that if you use regular cigarettes, you are still harming your health, even if you cut down a little bit on your regular cigarette use. So I would like to see e-cigarettes used exclusively or as a step towards quitting smoking rather than as a product to help bridge the gap when you're not allowed to smoke.
KB in La Crosse is with us. Hi, KB.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just, you know, I've been hearing a lot about the e-cigs on the radio lately. I smoke quite a bit and just started using e-cigs a couple few months ago, and it's been a complete change for me. Health-wise, I feel much better now. And I actually don't use the disposable ones. I started with the disposable one, but now I'm getting the refillable ones where I'm buying the e-fluid and the tanks and batteries. The cost is phenomenal difference. Plus, I feel much better, and I've cut down from a pack a day to 1 to 2 cigarettes a day just to get away from tobacco use altogether. The one thing that I'd say about purchasing e-cigs is that every shop that I've gone to, they actually will card to make sure that they're not selling to minors. So it's basically whatever, you know, regulations there are for selling regular tobacco products, they actually hold the same regulations for the e-cigs as well. And so I haven't seen that. I'd be really surprised seeing, you know, minors, you know, like 13, 14-year-olds using e-cigs because they wouldn't have access to it. The other thing is that, you know, people wondering that if it would be a gateway product to get to smoking regular cigarettes? I almost don't think so, because the e-cigarettes are so much cheaper, especially if you're buying the fluid in bulk and the refillable canisters. It's cost prohibitive for people to smoke regular tobacco now. I mean, we've got tobacco in the state of Wisconsin is anywhere from $6 to $8 a pack. Minnesota is almost the same now. Iowa's right now is the cheapest. It's, you know, anywhere from $4 to $6 a pack.
Yeah, KB, thank you very much for your thoughts. We're running short on time, so I want to quickly get David Abrams to, I guess, react to your comments. And maybe, should we be taxing e-cigarettes?
Well, you know, I think that user hit the nail on the head. If people used it the way he is, we could see a big public health success. I would like to see him stop using regular cigarettes completely. I noticed he was still using one or two. But I think making a complete transition to e-cigarettes, and then maybe at a later point deciding you don't want to use any nicotine, could be a huge public health benefit. And that's the potential upside of these new technologies for delivering nicotine. I do not think they should be taxed as high as regular cigarettes, because I think we do want to create an incentive for people to only use e-cigarettes if they must get their nicotine somewhere. I want to see the combusted regular cigarette put out of business. So if you ask me, I'd double the tax on combusted cigarettes to make them even more expensive and push more people towards either quitting completely, which would be ideal, or if they can't quit completely, switching completely to e-cigarettes as a step towards quitting. I want to see the regular cigarette, which is a defective product and a dirty product, put out of business.
Well, we'll leave it there because we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you.
David Abrams, Executive Director of the Schroeder Institute for Tobacco Research and Policy Studies at the American Legacy Foundation, also a professor in the Department of Health, Behavior, and Society at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air direction. And thanks to Robin Cherry for on-air production. And thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. We will welcome in a guest political scientist to break down President Obama's speech on Syria last night, along with other recent developments. Plus, our big question you can weigh in on. Do you approve or disapprove of the way President Obama is handling the conflict in Syria? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.